This is Andrew Robinson, Garrick from Deep Space Nine, and you are listening to the Trek Mate Podcast. Enjoy.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Trek Mate Podcast. Its continuing mission, to entertain, enlighten, educate, and talk all things Trek. To boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Make it so.
Prepare to attack. All hands battle station.
Don't worry. We will get to the bottom of this.
All I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer by.
I don't want excuses, I want answers.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
How do you think that tells me about your character?
Captain's log, stardate 3541.9.
Program complete. Enter when ready.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to First Take Trek Mate. My name is Jude Hawkins.
And my name's Wayne Emery. Yes, we're starting once again. It matters not to you listeners, but this is the first time that you hear it. And we are back to bring you a little bit of Trek talk. I think we're going to be mainly discussing Lower Decks this week, as Jude and I have watched up to episode 7.
I believe episode 8 is about to come out tomorrow. Today.
It dropped today, so we haven't we haven't downloaded it illegally yet. So
so we've not done anything wrong.
Let's not beat about the bush. The only way that we're getting to watch it isn't through legal means. CBS want to change that, then make it so that we can get it.
If we were to do that, I'm sure we wouldn't be the only ones. I'm sure there's thousands and thousands of Brits and Europeans and whatever other countries they're depriving of getting it on the day.
To be honest, I've had like comments or conversations like with a number of listeners who are all torrenting it, because why wait?
Yeah, we've said this bunch of times on this podcast. Like, it's just stupid of these companies to make countries wait, not just days, but weeks or months in some cases. It's like, do you really think people aren't going to find it in this day and age? Like, it's going to happen. So stop being so damn silly, CBS and Paramount and Warner Brothers, depending on what we're talking about. I had the same thing with Bill and Ted. I had a rant about that. Mm-hmm. Online, I don't normally do that, but I was just like, you guys are idiots. Like, you're actually promoting it, you're still doing the advertising over here, but like, oh, it's coming out in your cinemas next month, but it's out in America right now. It's like, why did you just tell me that
to download?
You could have just not told me at all.
Yeah,
you know, I might not have been aware. But
no, but it makes zero sense in today's day and age, because the thing is, not only are people going to like watch it through other means where they don't earn anything from it, but when it eventually does come over here, the majority of those people are not going to bother watching it a second time.
Yeah, even if it's free, even if it is on Netflix or Amazon Prime that you've already got, you might just be like, yeah, I've seen it. Yeah. Not bothered right now. I've got other, I've got all this up. You know, I know that's always the case for me. I've always got so many things to watch, especially with the multiple different apps. There's different things on each one of them. Like, it all backs up.
Exactly. So you're not, especially when you've like, when it's not exactly hit you to a point where like you're like, this is amazing, I'm gonna watch it again. So, and those in that case, they're not getting a true representation of viewing figures. So they would look at the viewing numbers that, like, say Lower Decks now gets on Prime or Netflix and be like, oh, that didn't do too well.
That being said, though, in the case of Lower Decks, I think I actually will, because even though we'll be talking about it more as we go on, it's growing on me. But even those first few episodes where we've already spoken about it on the pod and said, you know, even though we wanted to be fans, we weren't big fans. Like, if it is going to continue to grow on me, I'd like to watch all of them again and just, you know, give it that second chance. And also, I'm watching it on my phone, through my phone on the TV. So even though it looks great on the phone, when it then goes onto my TV, it goes a bit more pixely.
Mm-hmm.
So I look forward to watching it, you know, as good as can be on Netflix or Prime or whatever it ends up being on. So so that is an exception, I would say. But in the case of like other stuff like Short Treks,
mm-hmm.
Or just Discovery or whatever it may be, yeah, some of those wouldn't get a second chance, I think, or at least not straight away, not for a while.
I didn't realise until I was shopping in Sainsbury's the other day, they actually released all the Short Treks on Blu-ray.
I had the same thing where I just saw it somewhere. I can't remember where I was, but I did this exact same thing. Like, oh, weird. Yeah. Didn't know that was a thing.
No, and also, it's like, I haven't seen all of the Short Treks. There is no way I'm fucking paying for them.
Nah. Well, I have seen them, and there's no way I'm paying for them.
But it's not... The thing is, they're meant to be like an accompaniment to something else.
Mm-hmm.
They're meant to be like, okay, then, your whatever box set, there's the special features.
Yeah, or, that's what I was just going to say. That is like an ultimate special feature. That is something that might tip someone like me over the edge into buying a Blu-ray of Discovery, where like, well, the series didn't impress me that much, but that's a hell of a lot of bonus content, you know.
Yeah. Is it just me, or does Blu-ray not do bonus features anywhere near as much as what DVD did? Because back in the day, every single DVD near enough had a decent amount of special features. Where now,
I think you're right. There was a lot more back in the day on DVD, it seems. Yeah.
Yeah, it just seems a lot less on Blu-ray. But at the same time, also, we've said it before with the Short Treks, they should just be put on fucking YouTube.
Yes. No, with Short Treks, that is the perfect home for them. It really is. And they could get those numbers up straight away. They can get it hashtagging or trending or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Term you want to, we'll call it, and just get the whole world talking about it, so when the normal series finally does come out, then everyone's ready for it on that same day, everyone's pumped. And
yeah, and also then it gives like a little bit of insight into, like, for people who may not have necessarily dived into the main series yet, that will think, oh, okay, then, well, I'll check out
over all sorts of new fans as well through YouTube. Yeah. Doing it that way.
Did you see, I haven't read the article properly yet, but did you see that they're on about changing CBS All Access in America to Paramount Plus?
No, I'm rarely on the internet these days. No, what's that about then?
So basically they're going to like incorporate it, they're merging it with like all of the Paramount back catalogue of stuff.
Okay.
A bit like the Disney Plus sort of app. Mm-hmm. So it'll be like the Paramount movies, and they're going to combine that with CBS All Access. And
for the same money that people were paying, or?
Yeah, I think so. But it's looking like it's going to be something that they're intending to roll out worldwide.
So which means they're going to start pulling things from Netflix
and Prime by the looks of it.
Don't know about that one. Don't know about that last bit.
Yeah. So, and I don't know how I feel about that, because
I feel like I'll finally come round to doing what you do, putting everything on USB sticks or whatever, if that,
mm-hmm.
that starts to happen.
Yeah, because the thing is, and it's not like they would really, or it's going to make people go, do you know what? Okay, fine. I'll subscribe to the Paramount Plus, but I'll just do it for 1 month once the series has ended. So you get all of the episodes in one go, binge them.
Yeah, I do that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Binge them, and then it's like done. So whether that does end up rolling out at some point, who knows?
Yeah, well, we'll see. But what you've just told me there, I think that could definitely bite them in the bum in Europe and other countries. But obviously, they don't seem to care about us that much anyway. So we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. And well, the thing is as well, it kind of surprises me as well, because Netflix fronted up a lot of money for Discovery.
Mm.
And I'm sure Amazon would have fronted up a lot of money for Picard as well.
We don't know how some of those deals go behind the scenes, though. Like, sometimes there's like agreements with Times where they say, you know, we'll give you all this money, and you'll be on Netflix, and we'll promote you, we'll put you on posters and stuff like that. But it's only for 5 or 6 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have, you know, like wrestlers and all stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where when they come to the end of the contract, they have to work out, okay, we staying together, you're going somewhere else, you know, because if you are, then we want nothing to do with you, and then they won't promote it at all. But you know, Netflix is just like a rolling rock that just gets bigger all the time, and even though other franchises and stuff can really help them, I don't think as time goes by they really need it. They're just gonna, you know, just to keep accumulating all these movies and series where they're doing fine on their own. So,
and the thing is as well, Netflix is at a point where they're making such good in-house quality content that it's worth having Netflix just for their original stuff as well.
Yeah.
Because
it's getting that way. When I'm starting to look through there, it's like Netflix, you know, Netflix original story.
It's like, funnily enough, over the last... we binged the whole series in like 2 days. A series on there called Away.
Away. I'll have to remember that one.
Yeah, which is a series about... it's 10 episodes, and it's about the first manned mission to Mars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's like a team of like 5 astronauts that lead a...
What is it? Like drama? Dramatization?
Yeah, I suppose you could say it's drama, because it's more... Well, it's not even really sci-fi, because it's based... There's nothing... Well, no, it would be sci-fi, because it's obviously fiction. It's dramatization, but it's not outlandish. It's all sort
made to feel real.
Yeah, made to feel real, but also like about like the impacts of like what it would have on the astronauts and the families of them going away for that long.
I like it.
Yeah, and what the first season, I don't think I'll be giving anything away when I say like the first season is literally just the journey there. So it's not as if like I'm expecting season 2 to be like exploring the red planet, because they're going there and then they're spending like 2 years on the surface before returning home. So
there's all sorts you could do with that, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. And we really enjoyed it. I'm trying to remember the name of the actress who played it. It's a big actress.
Is there like a main character sort of thing?
There's a lead character, yeah, played by Hilary Swank.
I know the name. I can imagine her face. I can't think what she's in.
She wasn't
the Karate Kid 4, was she?
Yeah, she was.
The crap one.
Basically. Yeah, she was Dollar Baby and...
Oh, right, yeah, I watched that, but I didn't connect the dots that was the same person.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she's been in a whole bunch of stuff.
She has, yeah, and I can't think of any of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird, like earlier on, she just said, who's Jeff Goldblum? And I was like, you know Jeff Goldblum, he's in Jurassic Park, he's in The Fly, he's in hundreds of things. And like, as soon as I said Jurassic Park and The Fly, I was like, I can't think of a single other thing, but he definitely is.
Independence Day. It's weird,
oh yeah, of course, she loves Independence Day as well. David!
Yeah.
Sorry, I always... when someone brings up Independence Day.
That's a good reference.
Yeah, cheers.
Yeah. No, I...
Long-haired Data.
Yeah, that's it. Did you watch the sequel to Independence Day?
I did. I watched it once. I don't remember what happened. I don't remember thinking to myself, like, oh, I'm going to watch that again sometime soon. I just went in one ear or through my eyes and out my ears.
For me, it was very much, it was like, oh, okay. It was okay.
Mm.
It's like I didn't hate it and I didn't love it. It was just like it happened.
I suppose the same for me, yeah. I think I would have remembered if I'd hated it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's just like it just kind of happened. So, but it, yeah, no, I do really recommend Away. I enjoyed that.
Mm.
But then also, we started watching another Netflix series called shit. What's it called? This is great listening.
I'll give you and everyone a recommendation while you
try. Okay, go on then.
I think it's a Netflix original. Mm-hmm. It's fucking awesome. There's a tier of programs where, you know, we were just saying, me and my wife the other day, there's only a certain amount of programs that are excellent, mm-hmm. and this is one of them. I can't remember if it's called Ozark or The Ozarks. I think it's just called Ozark.
Mm-hmm.
But it's bloody brilliant. I can't recommend enough, and I don't want to give away too much what happens in it, other than like a family moves to this part of America from, they're living in like LA or New York or something like that, and they've got to get out of where they are and move to this other place. They would appear to be a nice normal family, but they get up to a lot of bad stuff and they just keep digging themselves in a bigger hole of shit throughout the whole program, and it just keeps getting deeper and deeper. And that's all I'll say, because I don't want to ruin it for anyone, but I'd highly recommend that. If anyone didn't enjoy that program, I would just have to say to them, why? It's excellent. Just everything about it. Brilliant writing, great actors, just everything executed brilliantly with timing and really good.
Yeah, no, I've, funnily enough, that is a series that I need to finish watching, because I think we're like about halfway through it, and for some reason it just fell off because we got distracted by other things, but yeah.
I can't remember if there's 2 or 3 seasons,
mm-hmm.
but I can tell you whatever happened, even, you know, the finale of season 2 or season 3, however many there is.
Mm-hmm.
The last episode just made both of us just like turn to each other and go, fucking hell. That just got even crazier. And just can't wait to see the next one.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Can't spoil it.
Oh, no, that's the season we've started watching Ratched. And
oh, Ratched. Like Nurse Ratched, who is. Yeah. What's her name? Who everyone hates. From Deep Space Nine.
Yes.
Kai Wynn is Nurse Ratched. Well, not in this series. They've got the lady from...
Oh, is that the original?
Yeah. Kai Wynn. She's Nurse Ratched in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, I never watched that.
Oh, watch it. Of all people, you should watch it just for Kai Wynn. Like, she is the bad guy in that film. And, like, I have no doubt that whoever cast... that actress, who people listening to this program, mm-hmm. listening to this podcast, will know her name. I've mm-hmm. forgotten. I'm sure she will have been cast as Kai Wynn because of that mm-hmm. excellent acting job she did in that film, where she is just horrible.
Yeah.
And the series you're about to talk about is basically the prequel to that, as far as I can tell. And the trailer looks great.
Well, we've watched 2 episodes, and it's really fucked up.
Yeah.
It's really fucked
it
up.
It looks like there's a lot of stuff going on in that trailer. It didn't look particularly subtle.
No, it's not. There's fucking... honestly, there's plenty of gore. There's plenty of just...
Wow.
Just things that are real screwed up in the head.
You're really good at selling me on programs in a very small amount of words.
Yeah.
I'm sold already.
Yeah, no, and obviously it's like set in whatever year it is, like the 30s or 40s or whatever.
Something like that, yeah. I would guess, yeah, mm-hmm. 40s, but yeah, 30s, 40s. It's maybe like, even going into the 50s.
Yeah, or somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And the thing is as well, it's there's certain bits in it which holds enough truth to shit that happened to people in real life, and you it just like it's like, oh, that is fucked up. It's proper fucked up. It's like I don't even want to spoil it for you.
No, I don't. Yeah. I'll tell you and everyone listening what I watched one episode of today, which I've been wanting to watch for ages, and a good friend of ours really wanted me to watch it. Mm-hmm. he even sent it to me on my phone, but I never got around to watching it on there. But you'll know what I'm gonna say.
The Mandalorian.
Yeah, we got Disney Plus free for a month today, so yeah, the first episode of The Mandalorian.
So have you watched... I need to finish it. It's really good.
Seven or eight episodes.
Yeah.
They're not that long either, but yeah, we watched episode one tonight, and then we didn't carry on from that because we realized that we started watching a really decent film yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and we never finished it, so we carried on today, and we still didn't finish that.
Mm-hmm.
But episode one, it's only about 31, 39 minutes at most,
mm-hmm.
and there was just too many trusted people who I know, like Dom, you know, telling me,
mm-hmm.
oh, this is great, you know, this is better than any of the movies since the original movies, you know, all the way back in the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And just put it this way, in all the months it's been out, I've never once heard anyone say, you know, that Mandalorian, it's crap. Don't bother watching. I've never heard anyone say that. All I ever hear is good stuff. So I knew I was going to enjoy it. There's no way I wasn't going to enjoy it. And without saying any spoilers, or well, I'll say one, but it's only because it's out there everywhere. But I love the fact that for the majority of the episode, there was barely any CG. There was mm-hmm. CG, but there were things that made sense for it to be CG. But loads of actual actors in prosthetics, animatronic puppets and stuff like that, which I just loved that because it felt so much like the original films, which is why for me, me and my wife were saying this earlier on, the only one that both of us have really rewatched several times and enjoyed a lot and spoken about was Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the best one they've done of the modern era. All the other ones are just... It's sad for me because I'm not going to sit here and say I hate them, but I just think it's bad. It's not good. But the last two that came out, I saw them at the cinema, enjoyed them, and then as time went by, I just have no desire to rewatch them at all.
Mm-hmm.
I've just, you know, got better things to do with my time, and that's not that's sad to me, you know, considering how much I worship those original three films. But no, I really felt like I was being brought back to those old movies a bit today in that short half hour.
Yeah.
I don't know who the Mandalorian is, but he immediately seems cool in that mm-hmm. first 30 minutes. And I think it's all right to say the spoiler of the end of that first episode because,
of course, unless you've never been on the internet, would have.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
There, at the end of the first episode, somehow we're introduced to a baby. Don't tell me. Don't spoil this for me. That can't be Yoda because we've moved on from time. But it's whatever Yoda is. It's whatever mm-hmm. that species is.
Yeah.
And it's 50 years old, but it looks like a baby.
No, I don't know where he's come from yet and where I am in the story.
Mm.
So.
But yeah, obviously, I think that thing is mostly... Yeah, of course it'll be CGI because of the way its face is moving and stuff. But yeah, it looks very cute and it's interesting to see.
Unless it's Baby Yoda reincarnated.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's, you know, I always hear or read people on the internet calling it Baby Yoda, but I think they just call it that because they don't know what else to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's not even given a name within the program. But yeah, I don't want
to
say
anything. They tend to just call it the child.
Do they? Okay, yeah. Cool.
They never refer to it as a specific species or anything else. They don't call it Baby Yoda.
Good.
Yeah. Good. So no, I'm really looking forward to it, and also good timing as well because season 2's dropping next month.
Don't tell me what the answer is if there is an answer. But does the Mandalorian have a name other than the Mandalorian? Is he identified as being someone?
Not as far as I've watched.
Okay.
Yeah, not as far as I've watched. But that's the whole thing of like that group of people is like just not, that brotherhood is like not really identifying.
Mm-hmm.
It's like keeping everything all cloak and dagger.
Yeah, that's fine. No, I can really see how that would work throughout the program, and they can choose to do or not to do a reveal eventually, which could either make people pop and go, wow, you know, is this person all along? Or it could make people go, oh, no, that makes no sense now. But yeah, I'm only on episode one. But yeah, whoever it is came across as very badass and very cool. Like, you could kind of tell what was going to happen in the scenes. Like, oh, he's going to appear here, he's going to do this. But I'll also say I liked the droid in that first episode. I don't know or don't imagine that they will reappear in any episodes after that first one. Don't tell me if they do or not. But, yeah, I really liked that droid who wasn't played by a human. I guess it was mostly CG. I don't know if they had a real one there as well,
so.
Doing some stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be pretty tough to have done like a real human in that.
No, I didn't mean like, I just meant if they'd built a real robot, you know, doing some of that stuff, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
But was very cool. Don't know what it was called, but yeah, it was in some good scenes, but I don't want to spoil it.
No, he was good.
But yeah, anybody out there listen to what I'm saying, like, just like any of these apps, you can have it free for a month, so just, there's no excuse for not having the money, just go watch it.
Yeah. No, well, that's it. We had subscribed to the Disney Life app for ages before Disney Plus came out, so we just went straight over to the Disney Plus, and there's plenty on there that we enjoy, so...
Yeah, there looked to be quite a lot. We only had a little look through, but with all the National Geographic stuff on there as well, it makes it a bit more interesting than it would be if it was just pure Disney. And obviously, they got every single Marvel film on
all
there.
The Marvel, oh, all shit. The Star Wars, all the Fox, all of Simpsons.
Yeah, I was really surprised and happy about The Simpsons. I was just like, there's so many episodes of the, or seasons even, of Simpsons that I've just not watched, you know, because I don't have Sky. I was just going to say to you, I've seen the trailer earlier on this week and thought, oh, that looks good. It was JD, in fact, who had posted it on Facebook, and I was just like, oh, nice. And it's only just clicked in my head, that's Disney Plus. I didn't see it on there today, so I'm guessing it's
not WandaVision.
Yeah,
I think it's out next month.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And that looks really, really good.
Well, I hope
good.
By next month you mean like in a week or two.
I will.
Not like in a month.
I'll ask my best mate Google.
I'll tell you what else, while you're doing that, another thing I saw advertisement for today, and I saw it once about a week ago.
Yeah.
There's something coming to Prime that I like the look of. I don't know if it's just a one-off movie or if it's a series. I think it might just be a movie. But it's Simon Pegg and Nick Frost back together again.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I think the rough gist is like they're a ghost TV show, you know, the crappy type of shows.
Like most ghost haunted type.
Yeah, just like that. But I'm guessing like something real happens.
Mm-hmm.
I've completely forgot what it's called. But yeah, that's out next month.
is that out next month. I've just checked. WandaVision is December.
Oh, really? Bloody hell.
Yeah. Bloody Sorry, mate. Yeah, yeah so... when does... because also there's also another series coming out, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Oh, I've heard the name, but I've not seen anything.
Yeah.
So that's well, exactly what it says. Captain America's two best mates, and Captain America's dead, I guess. Oh, not dead. He's just moved on.
Yeah, exactly.
Got old.
Oh, no, that's got put back to 2021. So
yeah, I can see how that would happen with a lot of things. You know, I was expecting that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, but no, WandaVision. The trailer looks amazing.
It does. Very, very cool. Yeah, yeah, go watch that, everyone. We won't spoil that for you either.
If they keep on putting more and more series on Disney Plus like that, it becomes a really like enticing app for people that wouldn't necessarily have got that.
Yeah, and I think that's the way to go anyway. Like I know Marvel is great at doing the massive blockbuster movies, but like if you can turn that into to series, you know, which from one episode it looks like they're doing a great job with Star Wars, like that's got so much more buzz around, or has had so much more buzz around it, Mandalorian, than any of the I was just saying today, like, I'd actually forgotten that there was a Han Solo film. I watched it, but I was that unimpressed by it. I didn't like it. I don't want to say I hated it, but I did not like it. And I sort of came out saying, like, well, I will probably never, ever watch that again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the only way I would watch that film is if, like, a good friend or one of my two sons just said, like, please watch that with me. I really want to watch it. Please let's watch it together. And I'd just be like, all right then. But otherwise, I can't see myself ever watching it again. I don't even know why they bothered, really.
That's a shame. It's a real shame because it's this thing at that point. It's like, why try to just cash in on something if you're not going to put all of the like right notes in there?
Yeah.
Which, yeah.
It's just cheap, obviously, shit tons of money piled into it, but yeah, cheap cash in. Just, they didn't care why it was being made or didn't care to make the story interesting. Just like, no, call it Solo. Have a new guy play, you know, young Han Solo. People will watch it. Put Lando in there as well. Put Chewie in there. People love it. They'll lap it up. Doesn't matter. But this isn't there. That isn't there. You know, the quality isn't there. People will buy it. And you know, they obviously did. But I would guess that has done the worst. It's just a guess, but that's done the worst out of all the modern Star Wars films.
You would imagine. Because there was far more buzz around Rogue One. And all of the main stream Star Wars movies are like obviously going to do better than that.
I'd say Rogue One is the only one where I think I've seen it like three times and I still want to watch it again. Mm-hmm. I still look forward to watching it at some point again.
Mm-hmm.
For those who haven't seen Rogue One, it's basically the closest ever prequel I've ever seen, where literally Rogue One leads into Episode 4 of Star Wars, New Hope, mm-hmm. or, you know, just Once Upon a Time, Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I love it so much, and it's done so well.
Yeah, the basic premise is it's about, like, the plans that Leia got her hands on at the beginning of A New Hope.
That's right. We have some of the same characters, but it's not one of the normal episodes. It's you know, not following those guys. It's what Wayne's saying there. Yeah, just a sort of minor thing, but just fantastic insight into these characters, these people that you didn't even see. That, you know, they're just spoken about for 5 minutes, like with these plans, but then you get to see how these people actually got hold of them, and, you know, the sacrifices like they had to make and stuff, and you know, I love a film with a sad ending as well.
I'm a real sucker for films that where it goes to shit.
Yeah, me too. Because it shows me that they care. Like, they're not just going like, oh, let's just make it all good and everything's fine at the end. Because, you know, life isn't always that way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I love it where the good guy doesn't always win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, big fucking sucker for that. Talking about people not winning, have you seen DST still haven't cancelled yet?
Oh, God. I have, like, finally. I don't go on there much, but when I do, I look at very specific things. I've noticed that people are, you know, smart, normal people are finally saying to each other online, on social media, like, what the, you know, the same thing we've been saying for ages now, like, what the fuck? You know, why are they not saying anything? It's clearly not happening. And, like, there's still that very, that, you know, those people that are saying, it might happen, it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
It's literally now just the brain damage few that are still holding on to that hope. But, and the thing is, how can you even not admit that now? Because it's like, we're at a point where the second spike is building up. We're now getting daily cases that is more than when we was at our first peak now. So, and we're what, a month away?
Something like that. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I just say they should be ashamed of themselves, CBS and the people in charge of this thing. And it's not Showmasters, for the record. Like, I'm not saying Showmasters because, you know, because I know online people are pointing their fingers at them. They're just the people that are running it. They're not in charge. They're just the people trusted to run the event. So it's not their fault. I'm not pointing my finger at them. I know they're not perfect. There's all sorts of stuff that, you know, we've criticized about them over the years fairly. But this one's not one of them. It's not them. They could be very well be saying to CBS and whoever's involved in the middle there, you know, like, come on, guys. Like, you're making us look bad here. You know, we're all coming out of this looking stupid and greedy.
The only reason that I can think reasonably that they aren't announcing that is they don't want to give refunds.
Yeah,
it's got to be that, because the thing is,
and they, also just with these companies like that, like, they just want to let your money sit in their bank for as long as literally as long as possible. And it's just not fair. It's not right.
No, but also, if they
have respect for the fans, you know, the people that allow you to put these conventions on in the first place.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting, because that's the thing. I know that it's extremely hard in people like that work in that industry. That is their bread and butter. That is what they rely on. They've been decimated. But there's no point stringing people along.
And I think they're pretty much, you know, I don't follow the whole scene, but they're probably the only one left at this point, UK convention, where they're embarrassing themselves, yeah, pretending that it's still going on right now. Like, I'd kind of understand it if the convention wasn't until 2021, why they might still be saying, oh, it might happen. But no, it's like, it's a month away or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like they haven't even... The only post that they've put out is when they've been selling their gear that they've had signed for years. When they're clearing out their inventory. Yeah. They haven't actually put out any posts regarding... the actual event itself in quite a while. It's like on their page, they haven't mentioned anything since the 10th of September. And
it's embarrassing looking at it. I've looked on the Twitter thing as well. Yeah, and it'll just be like, oh, congratulations to this, you know, person, that person. Oh, it's Captain Picard Day. And it's like, fucking tell people, just tell people that your thing's cancelled. And why did you do it for Germany as well? There was supposed to be a German one, and they did it for that. They had the common sense to say, oh, okay, guys, sorry, it's not happening until June next year, which it is, to me, that's a fair date. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. Like, there's a good chance it won't happen, but it might. With that, I can agree with you, you know, agree with them and say, yeah, it might.
Yeah, their last post mentioning anything was the 19th of August.
Which they know by then.
Yeah, exactly.
That's enough time to be saying, like, okay, it's not happening. Sorry, guys.
And now that post is just getting more and more comments of people saying, you're ignoring my emails.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. I hope it just gets swamped with them, because, as I keep saying, shame on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shame on the people who are, you know, making the decision.
Yeah. No, it's just, whoever is making that decision is really, really shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and yeah, no, more and more people. But the thing is, by doing this, by not being upfront, they're going to alienate a whole bunch of their audience.
Definitely.
The ones that are ardent DST fans that might look forward to going and like booking it up every single time. And
yeah, there's a lot of people that put a lot of money into that. With some of the ticket packages they have, like, I forget about it sometimes. Just how much they charge for these things sometimes. Whatever it is, captain and then admiral packages, like a bloody fortune, some of it.
And looking at these comments, so many people just going like, I've got non-refundable hotels, all of that going on. And
I'll never pay for a non-refundable hotel again. Now that is something that 2020 has taught me. Like, if it's a little bit more money, if it's 20 quid extra, just go for it, because you never know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth it to me to be the cheap guy anymore, you know, or who thinks he's being thrifty or whatever.
That extra fiver for the security.
Yeah, sometimes it's a fiver, sometimes it might be 20 quid, but if it's 20 quid, I say just pay it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that sucks. That sucks for those people that have paid for those hotels.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, like, if the hotels aren't actually able to run themselves, then you might be able to get your money back. I've had that happen to me this year, where I had non-refundable hotels where they've not actually been open during those dates because of lockdown. And I've written to them and, you know, said, shame on you, like, you know I can't be there. No one can be there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand that it's non-refundable, but you're not even operating. So please give me my money back.
Yeah.
Not expecting them to do it at all. Just thinking, like, you know, I'm just getting this off my chest. I'm just having the stress in the most polite way possible without swearing at them. And I got my money back. So, you know, give it a try if you know those hotels aren't operating at all because of lockdown things.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know where we're going to be. Well, we do know that by the time DST should be happening, it ain't going to be happening. But you don't know if we might be in a lockdown or anything like that. So, keep that in mind, people. You may be a small chance you could eventually get money back.
Yeah, especially if nearer the time, if the peak keeps on going up and they do shut the hotel, like if they start shutting more businesses, then you're more likely to be able to get it then.
Yeah.
As well. Because, it's worth trying everything that we can like that. And once again, I totally understand all of these businesses, how much they're struggling, because there's going to be a whole bunch of businesses that don't survive through this.
Yeah, I think it's definitely happening already. Yeah.
Yeah, so I totally understand where they're coming from, but like a bit of common decency, especially if you're not able to provide that service. because that's the thing, if you're not open, then everyone should get refunds no matter what.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. So keep that in mind, people. You know, tell your friends. Don't just feel that you're, you know, defeated.
Mm-hmm. Touching on Star Trek.
Yeah, we actually haven't spoken about Lower Decks, other than saying we're looking forward to watching it. But go on, were you going to say another Star Trek?
Yeah, I was going to say, did you see that Picard won an Emmy?
No, I did not. I don't generally pay attention to awards. I mean, it interests me sometimes when it's something I'm interested in, but what was that for?
It was for makeup.
For makeup?
So, like, basically all of the alien gear and everything else, which...
I suppose I've got no criticisms of the makeup, so that's a good thing.
I would, with Data's makeup and with Seven of Nine's Borg implant, when she first showed up, that looked awful.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it did in one scene, but not in the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
It looked like plasticine. Just...
Well, I hope they didn't use that clip when they were at the awards show.
Yeah, Picard was fortunate for winning the Emmy for Outstanding Prosthetic Makeup for a Series, Limited Series, Movie, or Special.
Is it the sort of show where they have all the contenders and then they say the winner? Did they say who was up against it?
Well, that's how the Emmys run. Hold on one second. Let's see if I can read who it beat. Picard was also up for the award in period and or character makeup, which, like, non-prosthetic makeup. But it missed out to the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Whatever the fuck that is. Doesn't sound like they're up against much. The final nomination for Picard was for sound editing, which was won in the end by Stranger Things.
No, I could see how that would get that.
I noticed how Picard wasn't nominated for anything story-wise. Only things to do with makeup and sound editing.
I can't say I'm surprised.
Yeah. No. On this article, it doesn't say who they were up against.
Maybe we can find that out for next time.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, it doesn't surprise me that they weren't up for anything more.
Maybe
than...
our good friend Darren is typing it as we speak on a Facebook post.
Yeah. No, it'll be...
Don't worry if you don't want to, mate. I'm not saying you have to do that.
You've got homework now.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. But, yeah, so, okay, then. So, I think last time we discussed Lower Decks, I think we discussed the first two episodes.
Yeah, it wasn't much, was it? It was either just the first two or possibly three. And, no, I think we did briefly discuss the third because we'd mentioned on a recent Trekmate pod that we both got a laugh out of the episode, but it was a different thing each.
No, that didn't actually go out on a podcast because
was that on the Patreon?
No, that was on when we was recording the beginning bit for the last episode, and then one of our internets cut out. I can't remember who did, and it was during that conversation, so I ended up just cutting that from the podcast.
Okay, well, there you go. I've just sort of said it. Yeah, I think the third episode of Lower Decks, you'd sent me on the phone and just said enjoyed it slightly more or something this week, and actually laughed at one bit. Mm-hmm. And I just said, well, don't tell me what it was. And then I'd sent you a text saying the same sort of thing, like, yeah, I enjoyed it slightly more this week. Mm-hmm. And that I too laughed at one thing, and it was a different thing each, which I thought that was kind of cool. But
Yeah, because that the bit that got me a chuckle was in the very opening scene of episode three, where they're having the performance, and it just like you would always have in TNG, and
It's like a
people.
first contact gone wrong or something, wasn't it?
No, that scene was like, you know how you would always get like Data playing the violin or
Oh, right, I see.
O'Brien.
I see what you meant. I thought you meant.
Yeah. No, it was like in their like 10 forward type thing where they were having people play, and then Ensign, whatever her name is, Captain's daughter, got up and like was hammering out some heavy metal, and then
Yeah, I vaguely remember it. I do honestly think what I said earlier on, if that didn't get cut out, because I know we had to re-record at the beginning, but no, I think I am going to enjoy Lower Decks more the second time round, to be honest. It is definitely growing on me with each episode. It's growing on me like that the whole idea of it, and even though I've had some clear criticisms of it, like it's trying to be this and this, but it doesn't quite manage either. I used Futurama and Rick and Morty as examples, and then I'd criticized it for saying like I felt some of the jokes, just a lot of the jokes, just don't hit, and I just feel like they've been like had to be pre-approved by several different people before they make the thing, and it just felt awkward in the past. But no, and also I said the characters, none of the really characters clicked with me, but they're starting to grow on me now too. The main two characters, even the captain as well, and the doctor is growing on me.
Well, the thing is, for me personally, because we're like seven episodes in now, and I don't dislike it, but I find it okay. I find that like every like they chuck in plenty of Trek references, and it's like, oh look, there's the like the alien slug type thing that Paris and Janeway turned into when they went to Warp
Yes,
10.
I did like that. Yeah, that was in the latest one. That did make me laugh or smirk. Yeah, smirk. Definitely. Especially because it's something we've spoken about several times on Trek, mate.
Yeah, and you've got to assume that that's their child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They actually called it something, and I just wish they'd called it like Robbie or something like that. Some more of a reference, or Tommy or something like that.
Oh yeah, no, it definitely, I would have preferred that.
Do you know what's just popped into my head? And I know this might sound quite immature, what I'm saying, but I think you'll know what I'm getting at. With Family Guy and American Dad, when that's shown on certain things, like when I would watch it on BBC Three, like any time anyone says fuck shit or any word what's deemed offensive or a swear word, they'd bleep it. And like, I didn't mind too much, because you get what they're saying, and I never really understood why they're bleeping it when it's on at like 11 o'clock at night anyway. But then occasionally, when I would treat myself to a Family Guy whole season on DVD, you'd realize, okay, they don't bleep it on there. They just do say, oh, fuck off, and there's no bleep. I wonder if I'll do that for this, because the bleeping does get on my nerves a bit. I just think like we know what you're saying, so I don't know where the copy that you're getting is from. I don't know where that originates.
It's directly from the CBS All Access app.
Yeah, you'd think on that, if that's the one and only place it's going out, and those people are choosing to access that program, they're not
No, and they've got all of the age restrictions and age advisories on there.
It just annoys me. Like we watched a series on Netflix recently. It's the second season of something. It's called 60 Days In.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reality program,
mm-hmm.
an American program about normal people what choose to go into jail for 60 days
mm-hmm.
to help tell the local sheriffs what they need to improve about the prison and how mm-hmm. drugs are getting in there and stuff. And there's people getting beaten up, people talking about rape and murder and all sorts of stuff like that, taking mm-hmm. drugs, you know, whatever. And but yeah, every time someone says fuck or shit, they bleep it. And we said to each other, why do they bother with that? Like,
it's not on live TV.
Who are they bleeping it for? Like, you know, whatever age you are watching this, you're watching people kick the crap out of each other, taking drugs on screen, and just mm-hmm. generally being utter scumbags. So what does it matter if people are saying fuck and shit? Mm-hmm. And if, and you know, when, where it comes up in the conversation, you know what they're saying anyway. So what does it matter? And I feel the same with this. Like, it's hurts it a little bit for me. I just think it's not making me laugh more by hearing that bleep, because you kind of hear the f and the k at the end of their bleep.
Yeah, but it makes me wonder, though, because it's coming from the same source, like CBS Access, I'm pretty certain they don't bleep the swearing in Picard.
No, they don't, because I've seen that clip so many times now, like on jokey YouTube versions of her saying sheer fucking hubris or whatever it is she says.
Yeah.
Yeah, so why bother? If, you know, if you're going to let it go in Picard, why?
Yeah, that really is baffling. Do they do it because it's a cartoon and they assume that children might watch it? I don't know.
Yeah. It's, or maybe it might even be what I said, where even though it is on CBS Access, maybe they'll release a DVD and then they'll give you the option on the DVD to watch it one way or the other.
I don't know. I don't know. It's very strange. Before we go any further, just so you know, Darren doesn't need to do his homework.
Okay.
Well,
I hope he hasn't done it already while we've been talking.
Whilst he's been listening. If yes, sorry.
Yes.
So the other nominations for Outstanding Prosthetic Makeup for a Series was American Horror Story 1984, Hollywood.
Which one was 1984? Is that going to be the only one I've not watched then?
I assume it's the latest one.
Yeah. I just kind of dropped out. Like, I felt like that program just went down in quality. Every series. It started off really strong, that program.
Yeah, I've never watched it. Never watched it at all.
Yeah, but I'd say the first three or four seasons of that, really fun. But it's like specifically different each series. But then it just went way down really quick after that. Sorry, carry on.
No worries. Hollywood, Pose, The Mandalorian, and Westworld.
Wow. Well, Westworld and Mandalorian, just from what little I've seen, like, I'm surprised it won against them, especially with what we're saying, what we said about Seven and whatever the other example. Oh, Data, you said.
Well, the thing is, whenever they when they put forward the nominations, they always nominate it from a specific episode.
Ah.
So it's like The Mandalorian is from Chapter 6. Which I don't think I've got there yet. And Westworld was from the episode Crisis Theory. But then the Picard episode that they chose was Absolute Candor, which is the episode where he goes to the Romulan ninja monk planet.
Mm-hmm.
So I can only assume it's just for the the sheer amount of Romulan ears that were put on.
Okay.
I guess. Because I don't think there's anything extremely outlandish in that episode alien-wise.
Oh, can I bring us on to two other things?
Yeah.
One thing I've been meaning to bring up for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll also say, I know this is way too late in the episode to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to dedicate this episode to Aaron Eisenberg, who's been gone for just over a year now.
Yeah.
Absolutely cool dude. Not going to say any more than that, because we've already said it. Everyone knows it. Top guy. It's a shame that he's gone. It's hard to believe that it's a year.
It's a shame we didn't pick a better episode to dedicate him to. We could have done a bit better of a job if we was dedicating the podcast to him.
Well, I'm going to talk about him now. I'm going to bring up something, because you said ears, where it's just, and it's another dig at CBS as well.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I hadn't realized that there was two things up on YouTube, and I hadn't watched either. And I haven't even watched the second. You know, Star Trek Renegades, like, we quite enjoyed that and, you know, had some good things to say about it. Well, I rewatched that not that long ago, about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And the reason why is because I saw that they have got two more episodes, or whatever they're calling them, of Renegades, but it's no longer called Star Trek Renegades. It's just called Renegades.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been on there for ages, and apparently, and I've just been too foolish or too busy or whatever to notice. But they were obviously made at that point in time where we've reported this on Trekmate ages ago, when we were more on top of our news and stuff, where CBS had just put their foot down and said, no, all fan films, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do this, or else we're going to sue the pants off you, so don't even think about doing it. So from that moment onwards, there were certain films that just got stopped being made and won't be allowed to be released and all sorts. But with Tim Russ, who's in charge, basically, of the Renegades franchise, or whatever you want to call it, he just decided, even though he just made this great fan film with Star Trek actors we were familiar with, like himself and Robert Picardo and plenty of others, but like he's going to carry on doing the thing, but he has to remove any real connection, anything that's copyrighted, I guess, to CBS and Star Trek out of the film, which, yeah, so you now have episodes 1 and 2 of Renegades. It's something like that, or Renegades Part 1, Part 2. And I just felt sad watching it. Just knowing that from the first like 5 to 10 minutes, it's just like, oh, fuck you, CBS. It's just on YouTube. You know, this was for the love of the franchise and sharing something with the fans. You know, maybe trying to make a bit of money here and there along the way, but not really. You know, like, you can tell that the people involved are doing it because they really enjoy it and they love giving stuff back to the fans. And, yeah, suddenly, all of a sudden, like, no time has, like, passed between the Renegades first movie and then this new one. But suddenly, everyone's uniforms have changed. Suddenly, everyone's uniforms are a little bit baggier, a little bit don't cost as much as they did before, and no one's got Starfleet on anymore, you know, logos and badges and whatnot. Suddenly, no one's saying Starfleet. Now, everyone's just saying... not even saying the Federation, I think they're saying like the Confederation or something like that. You know, just so it's like, oh, it sounds similar to what we were saying before, but
it's like your pound shop version of Transformers.
Yeah, and oh, that's it. Tuvok was still called Tuvok, right? But he doesn't have Tuvok's hair and he doesn't have Tuvok's ears. He's just suddenly human all of a sudden, and no one's saying anything. And it's not like it's a special episode where he's been altered and they're saying, like, oh, he's been genetically altered. It's okay. It's just like, nope. You know, and it's like, really? You can't even let, you know.
So, surely they could have kept the pointy ears and just claimed that he was an elf.
Yeah, easily. Yeah, easily could have done that. Or you just have him in the scene just going, oh, I'm just putting my ears on. Or whatever, you know, like, these are just pretend. I don't know.
Well, if you look but at no, the elves in Lord of the Rings, they all have, like, that sort of hair. They all sort of have a Vulcan-y hairstyle.
Yeah. No, but they're not even the ears I was referring to. Basically, they have a very long scene, which I guess is setting up stuff for the next episode, which I've not watched because I just didn't want to. I will, but I didn't want to after some of the stuff I'm going to tell you, where basically you have Terry Farrell in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And she was never supposed to be Dax, but she's supposed to be like a clone of Dax. Mm-hmm. But she says, like, oh, I'm the clone of, I don't know, Janzia Dokes or something like that.
No fucking
and it's
way.
Just like, oh, seriously? Oh, no. Why did you just say that? And then they're just doing all that stuff. It just keeps happening over and over again, where you can see where, like, they're not allowed to say this or whatever.
Yeah.
But then right at the end of the episode, Aaron Eisenberg comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing him post pictures on Facebook and whatnot of like, oh, this is me in Tim Russell's film.
Yeah.
And like he's got really cool, probably the coolest prosthetic makeup in the whole of this episode on, where he looks like demonic. Got mm-hmm. all sorts of like little horns and things coming out of his face, way more scary than a Ferengi or anything. But basically, I just the thing that stuck out for me is right at the end of the episode, like, you know, his character's been talking to people, like, and you just think like, oh, he is this new character. Yeah, you know, we know who he is, but it's Aaron. But
yeah,
he then sits next to Jonxia Donxer's clone or whatever, and then they just act like they know each other, and then like he just says to her, he just goes, ears to you, like, even though his ears, the ears of this alien, don't stick out at all. He's got all sorts of horns everywhere, but there's nothing particularly interesting about his ears. And at that moment, I was just like, these guys are just working. You know, no offense to Tim Russ and whoever else was involved. I'm not criticizing them, but like they're clearly working off the same script, basically, what they'd had. And I was just like, he was supposed to be fucking Nog, wasn't he? He was supposed to be Nog in this scene, and Terry Farrell was supposed to be just a straight-up clone of Dax, who somehow still got the same memories.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to have those two meet, and for the fans, it would have been like, oh my god, it's Dax, you know, original Dax, well, not original Jax, but Jadzia Dax, and Nog in the same scene, and like, now Nog's a captain, which I think he was. I think he was supposed to be a captain, or at least a
captain
commander
Zog.
Or something. Yeah, now he's just Captain Zog, who looks nothing like Nog. But then when he said the line, ears to you, or something along those lines, I was just like, oh, you bastard, CBS. Like, you've just fucking, it's not. They've not even shat over it. They've just ripped the heart out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why couldn't you just give Aaron Eisenberg, Tim Russ and friends, why couldn't you just give them that moment, just have fun making mm-hmm. this film and just giving it to the fans? You can still bloody make Discovery. You can still make Picard eventually, you know, because this was obviously done quite a few years ago now. But yeah, just in that moment, I was like, fuck you, CBS, really? Why do you have to be so
profiting
greedy?
Off of it?
Yeah, even if they did, I mean, how much would it have really been in the grand scheme of it all? Like,
oh, compared to, yeah, it's not going to be a rival for actual Trek.
Yeah, I mean, you might have had some fans going like, do you know what? I'm not really that bothered about Discovery, but I really enjoyed that Tim Russ film. But it's not going to like take over the world or anything. Like,
no, just let them have their ad revenue.
Yeah, yeah, that's all it had to be. That's all it ever had to be. But yeah, when I got that ears to you and the fact that it's like, well, how do you even know each other? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And as I say, I'm not criticizing Tim Russ and all the people involved in the making of that, but it was really sad to me. And mm-hmm. I was just like, I cannot watch episode 2 right now. I need to get over my little bit of anger towards CBS, and I'll watch it another time. And I've not got there yet. That was about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. No, I haven't watched either of them. So
Michelle Nichols is in it too, and she does an excellent job. She I know we've spoken about her, you know, she has a lot of things going on, but it doesn't seem that way in that. She's really on the ball in this.
What if it was filmed a couple of years back then?
Oh, I think she still now. Had the same issues going on.
But not quite what it is today.
Yeah, that's definitely fair to say. But no, she does great in it. Really well. So does Pavel Chekhov. What's his name? Walter Koenig.
Yeah,
or Volta, I don't know.
No, I think it's just Walter.
I don't know if he pronounces it Volta, though.
I don't know. I've never heard it pronounced any other way.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, they both do a great job. But yeah, it's sad to see CBS just wabbling. Yeah. Wabbling? Is that even a word? Wiping their big corporate dick.
It is a shame, and also as you rightly pointed out, it's a year this week that since Aaron passed suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was reminded by Max Credenchik's post.
I read the same thing. Yeah, very very nice by Max, and yeah, I feel bad for everyone Aaron's left behind. It yeah, and that includes Max.
Mm-hmm.
Like where I can't, you might be able to remember better than me, but where he's just saying like, oh, it just doesn't feel like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like he's not wouldn't be doing conventions anyway because of what's going on, but he's not even sure he would have done anyway without Aaron because it was just weird.
Yeah,
the thought of not doing it with, you know, without him.
It is, because it's like you would always whenever you would see like the photo ops, it would be Max and Aaron in makeup. It would be,
yeah, it was just like a given, wasn't it? And like I've said it so many times on here, I really believe, myself included, so many people would come away from those conventions saying like, oh, I thought I was most looking forward to meeting Patrick or Jonathan or, you know, whoever the A-lister type person was, that, you know, or the most expensive. But no, the best part of my weekend was meeting Max and Aaron, and that photo's fucking awesome. Like, I still say that's my favorite. It won't show it on your screen.
Oh,
it just disappeared for some reason. Why does it do that? That's weird.
I think it's because it recognizes that that's not a face.
Oh, it's not a face. Yeah. Yes. Well, you've seen it 100 times. It's my Facebook profile and everything. Mm-hmm. Still.
Yeah. No, I do. I'm glad that you've got that. I wish that I had got Aaron's autograph before he passed. But it's just really sad. And the thing was as well, is like, just even he was always like, as a fan, he's someone that was always on my Facebook feed, because I would interact with his posts like,
and just, it was only months before he was gone where I was literally saying to you, we need to get him on, like, he'd come on our show, like, he's a perfect guy to come on our show.
Mm-hmm.
And we just didn't do it. We didn't pull our fingers out, and
we definitely should have done.
I reckon that we all would have had a good time as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think we would have done, and it's a shame. It's a shame because, yeah, I know that we could have probably pulled it off.
Maybe we should ask his partner to come on at some point. I don't know if you pronounce it Melita or Melita.
I'm so ignorant. I always assumed it was Melissa.
But she was actually in that episode as well, funnily enough, I was just talking about, of Renegades. She's in that scene as a extra, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
Not acting alongside Aaron, but in the same bar, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And she seems like a really nice person. It might be cool to get her on. It could be, you know, similar to how much I enjoyed the episode or episodes with Chris, the friend of DeForest Kelly.
Yeah, no, just hearing some stories.
Yeah, about Aaron. When we when we had Chris on, it felt the closest we're ever going to get to having DeForest Kelly on the show. You know, like, it's obviously never going to happen, but that's the closest we're ever going to get. I loved that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I did. I really enjoyed that episode. And yeah, no, you're right. It's a good idea. It's a good idea to, like, do that. And we should also, next time, like, we speak to Max, is definitely bring up, like, some, like, ask for some Aaron stories.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely. Yeah, it's got to be done.
Okay, Lower Decks. Is there anything else we want to touch on?
What could we or should we? Okay. Well, first of all, I will say anything we don't talk about, which is probably 95% of it. Like, if anyone wants us to talk about anything, just let us know on social media or the emails and all that stuff.
Or even if it was like doing real-time reviews or something.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to do a real-time review for that, I guess, given that, you know, how short they are.
25 minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, whether people want us to do that, because it's, for me, really, I think it would be that sort of thing that we could talk about it as it goes through, because for me personally, I'm really indifferent with Lower Decks at the moment. I really, to coin an old phrase, don't give a toss. And it's not that I hate it, I'm just not fussed.
No, I definitely don't hate it, but yeah, I'm happy to say that it is growing on me all the time. I've no idea what their intended amount of episodes is for season one. Mm-hmm. Or if it's even been commissioned to season two yet. I don't know the answers to these questions. I've not bothered to look it up either.
As far as I can tell, it's going to be having 10 episodes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, it's going to consist of 10 episodes. And I don't believe it's been renewed for season two yet. But obviously they haven't finished the first run yet. So.
And they've already hurt themselves, like we said, by not releasing it to English or European or whoever else audiences.
Yeah, no, that's it. It should just be a worldwide platform.
Oh, can I just tell you about something while I just remembered it? On Amazon Prime or Prime Video, whatever it's called, I just added the documentary Making of Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. And I know we criticized the film a lot, but as soon as I saw it, I was just like, oh, I'm adding that. Let's hope it's better than the film itself. So just thought I'd let you know it's there.
So that's on Prime Video.
You never know. Yeah.
Okay. I will check that out because I enjoy Kevin Smith as a person.
Yeah, and Jason Mewes is very funny. Naturally, I think, a lot of the time, in his own way.
Yeah, and to be honest,
he basically is Jay, isn't he?
He pretty much is. Yeah. I think I will enjoy the making of more than I did the movie, just because seeing the interactions.
Yeah,
because you're going to get to see the interactions between them and the old, like, cast that they've had on previous films.
And Chris Jericho, potentially, he was in that movie.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be pretty good mates now.
Did you listen to the, they've done a few crossover podcasts together.
I've only listened to one or two, and I have chosen to skip past some recently. I've been, started listening to Chris Jericho's podcast again, and I actually saw that Kevin Smith, like, watch-along episodes were on there, and I've not downloaded them, and I'll be honest, I've not done it, because Chris Jericho spends a lot of his time being drunk, and I think that as long as you get the right level, that can help a podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, because people are excited, they're laughing, you can laugh at them.
Mm-hmm.
But when I've heard Kevin Smith on Chris Jericho's podcast, he sounds really fucking stoned. And, like, if you were stoned yourself listening to it, which I haven't been for years, for a very, very, very long time. But when you're totally sober listening to someone who's stoned on a podcast, like, they talk really slowly, take ages to get a point across, and might even forget it. Well, you get the point.
That pretty much sounds like Trackmate.
Yeah, but we're just speeded up a tiny bit. And yeah, you know, well, we don't have any excuse. Well, we do. We're tired dads. That's our excuse all the time. We're sticking to it.
No, well, I still listen to a lot of Kevin Smith podcasts, and
no, but I think he behaves himself on his own ones more sometimes. You know, if he knows he's interviewing someone else and they're on his show, he'll be like, oh, I'll only have my normal amount of joints today. But I think if he's going on Jericho's podcast, he's just like, oh, we're doing a watch long movie. I've seen this movie dozens of times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just getting smashed. What does it matter?
Oh, that's whatever. Whilst we're talking about podcasts, also wanted to say happy birthday to the Offline Gamer podcast, because Matt's podcast is now 5 years old.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, Matt's independent Offline Gamer podcast that he started 5 years ago is having its fifth birthday. So,
and this lazy bastard on this side still hasn't listened to it. Sorry, Matt. I will.
You are a wanker.
Yeah, for that I am. Yeah, sorry about that.
No, I love it. I was actually listening to the birthday episode today. So, yeah, no.
Cool.
Congrats, Matt and Ray, for getting to 5 years.
I don't always like jumping in at later episodes. I usually like to go from the beginning with anything, or as close to the beginning as I can. But so it's tempting to jump in late and then go back at some point.
Yeah. Well, they've had 56 episodes.
Okay.
So it's not too horrific. But the thing is as well, with, because it is a game based around board games and video games, it's a niche interest, it's a niche market, and I love it. I just love hearing Matt talk about things that he's passionate about.
I'll recommend another podcast to just you. I'm not recommending it to our listeners. But I've just started listening to another podcast, which is years old. Shenmue AM2 podcast.
Ooh.
It is just two blokes, in this case, two Canadians our age, just constantly talking about Shenmue, and their episodes are about anywhere between 36 to 50 minutes long, and I really like it because all the time they've got Shenmue music going on in the background. So as soon as one track finishes, it goes. And you know how sort of relaxing all that can be. But yeah, it's rare that you bump into another Shenmue fan. So it's just nice and sort of weirdly relaxing just hearing other people talk about it and just, I don't know. Yeah, so I think you would enjoy that. I've been going through them really quickly.
Thank you very much. No, I've just subscribed as you've been talking and downloaded the first episode.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah.
No, I'm
and
definitely
yeah, sorry, Matt. I will do the same for what's it called? The Offline Gamer.
The Offline Gamer. Yes. But I tell you what, I still can't recommend it enough. Fucking, it just gets better week by week, month by month, rather. Dungeons and Daddies, the fucking D&D podcast.
I've had you and JD and Fez, I think, both, everybody recommend
and Matt
that.
Loves it as well.
Yeah, it's definitely another one. Join Matt and Ray as we discuss our adventure into the world of table... Ray.
Yeah.
Ah, looks like Ray, like you'd read it as Ray. It's R-A-I.
Yeah, no, it's a girl Ray.
Ah, okay. As we discuss our adventure into the world of tabletop gaming, as well as what we're currently enjoying in the world of single player PC games.
Yeah, so no, and
we're 5 years old.
can't believe it's 5 years ago that he started. But
yeah, it's another thing that I remember him and yourself saying it, but like, oh, Matt's starting a new pod.
Yeah, no, it's really, it's amazing how quick time goes.
It's weird, isn't it?
But you got to think, we started together.
Around that sort of time.
Just about 4 years ago. Yeah.
But yeah, my first experience with TrekMate was 2015.
Yeah, so 5 years ago.
Just a guess.
Yeah, no, so, yeah, no, and we're nearly at 100 episodes together.
I am now adding or downloading episode one of
yeah,
the
start
offline.
At the beginning.
Yeah, it's just the way I do it.
Yeah, and also because I know that some listeners out there have taken my recommendation of Dungeons and Daddies and listened to it. If any of you guys enjoy it as much as I do, the three guys from Dungeons and Daddies also do a podcast called Hey Riddle Riddle, which I'm talking about the wrong fucking podcast. That was the one that they was on. called Storytime, which is basically them doing like a writer's room, like pitching ideas for like films and like working out the like how it would work, like and mm-hmm. working out the story and hashing it out, and it's really enjoyable. It's
I like the sound of that too.
Yeah, so it's really enjoyable because I'm trying to think of the.
I know you're supposed to pimp your own podcasts and stuff on here, but like, there's too many good podcasts and too little time.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, because at the moment I'm only subscribed to 15 podcasts, and I end up going through a rhythm of sometimes listening to a whole bunch of one and then listening to a whole bunch of another, and then
that's what I tend to do. Yeah
like let them build up for a little bit and then listen to a whole bunch. It's like I haven't listened to Delta Flyer in like probably a good
I've let that build up. There's at least a few on there. I just wish they would fucking catch me up, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I wish. Because everyone knows, well, anyone who's listened to us in the last couple of months knows that we were doing a rewatch of Voyager, which just kind of stopped. But we're going to get back on that. But yeah, I wish they could catch up to where I am so I could just watch what they're watching or vice versa and, mm-hmm. and hear about it from their mouth. But as it is, we're on season two or season three now. And they're still, you know, on season one, and it's like, even though it was only a month or so ago that I watched these episodes, they've kind of gone from my mind when they're talking about them. Like, mm-hmm. I kind of remember that one. You know, especially if it's a not so memorable, you know, one of those filler mm-hmm. kind of episodes.
Yeah. I tell you what, mate, I'm not sure if it's just a getting old thing. My memory is fucking really going bad.
Yeah. No, mine too. Like I say, that's only like a month or two ago. When I will have watched those episodes, and then when I've got two guys doing mm-hmm. like nearly an hour long discussion about it, and I'm like, can I remember that? It's just...
I guess, and I'll take your word for it.
Mm. If they're good, if the episodes that they're reviewing are good, then you know it's a lot easier. But you know, I don't mind saying, but they definitely weren't all good with Voyager. A little bit all over the place at times.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, that's one thing I love about that podcast, the Delta Flyers. They're not afraid to admit that.
Mm-hmm.
They're not afraid to admit when something's not that great. And they're definitely not afraid to admit now in hindsight that like different subjects and the way they dealt with them or portrayed certain things, they find them awkward to watch back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how Robbie McNeil's saying like, you know, like Tom Paris was a dick at times, you know, he's portrayed as a real sexist idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's right, and I can see why he cringes about it, because he's the one what had to do that work. He's the one who has to live with representing that character. But you know, it's not his fault. He didn't write it. He's just doing as he's told. And But I don't know. I have a bit of a laugh with Tom Paris. You know it's fiction. He could mm-hmm. be way worse of a person, way more sexist and misogynistic or whatever. He's not that bad, but I get where no. Robbie McNeil's coming from, and I definitely appreciate him speaking like that.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think he's harder on Tom Paris than what I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, definitely.
And I like all the Voyager characters. I like all of them more this time round than I have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
They've all grown on me, apart from Harry, which is probably the other way around. I used to like Harry more. I don't know if it's because, I genuinely like Garrett Wong. I think he's a mm-hmm. a funny guy, but yeah, Harry's a bit of a dick most of the time.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
not
no.
dick, well, loser. Loser is the word, maybe.
He's absolutely a cock block.
Yeah, he's a cock block to himself as well as others.
Yeah,
and you just constantly want to just say, "Oh, just get a life, Harry. Just chill out, like
chill out.
Just enjoy things."
Yeah. Oh no, absolutely, absolutely. Oh, one other thing that happened this week: I put my deposit down on the Xbox One on the Xbox Series X.
If that is what it's really called.
Yeah, no, the Xbox Series X.
I have no idea what it's called. I just know that the names are all so similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it is.
Yeah, so. That's cool to know that you've dedicated yourself to doing that. I don't know which one I will go with first if I eventually do, but I will say one thing, which I don't know if you're aware of.
Mm.
One story that just made me go, wow, that is a difference maker for me.
Mm.
Just this last couple of days, Microsoft bought Bethesda Studio. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, oh, no.
Bethesda own Doom, Skyrim, Fallout.
Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, sorry. Well, I said Skyrim, but I meant Elder Scrolls. Yeah, so... If Xbox 360. And Microsoft choose to, they can just say, you're not having, Wolfenstein, you're not having those games.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be Xbox exclusives. And if that's the case,
mm-hmm.
well, I'll either just be getting the Xbox or be getting both at some point.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, I think Microsoft are doing a lot right with this new console coming out. In my book, they're playing it like really well. They're being very pro consumer in the sense of they want it's going to be fully backwards compatible with the Xbox One. It's going to be backwards compatible with 360 and the original Xbox.
Yeah.
That is
very cool. I wish I'd been doing that stuff all along with these consoles, but mm-hmm. yeah, I really do appreciate that.
All of your peripherals that you've got from the Xbox One will be compatible with the Xbox Series X.
Cool.
Yeah, all of, like, if any games that you've bought on the Xbox One which have been like optimized for the Series X, so like all bells and whistles, 4K or whatever, you won't need to rebuy it. You just automatically get the best version of it.
That is very cool. So yeah, I'd say at this point, if you were to put it on paper, they're probably winning that race or that competition of who's delivering what better before they even come out.
Yeah.
But I think for me, I mean, I'm just gonna wait, which is what I do every new generation anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'll wait like 6 to 12 or even more months. To just see how it goes, what games come out, how people are feeling, what do they do after launch? Both the two sides. So, well, but it's all very exciting. I'll say that it's very cool. But the one thing I will say that I do every generation, and I'm proud of, is while everyone's spending money on the new consoles and the new games, mm-hmm. all the prices for the current games of the then previous generation, they start going down. I'm like, oh, I always wanted to play that, always wanted to play that. It was 40 quid, 30 quid. Now it's a tenner. Now it's £8 or whatever. So I do enjoy doing that, like catching up.
That's definitely something that I'm going to do. Like, after the PS5 has been out for a while, once the demand and the price has gone down, I'll pick up a PS4 because there is plenty of games
really
on there that I'm
enjoying it right now. I'm replaying games. I know you'll laugh, but I've just started replaying Shenmue again. I've got all these other new. I've got games on my shelf I've not even played, but I just had the urge again to play through it, and I was just like, sod it, why not? You can do what I want. I don't like playing all different things, but I'm loving it.
I'm there with you. It was only about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, that I finished playing through Shenmue 1 and 2 again.
Yeah.
And it's like yourself, it's just one of them games that I just go back to. I just love Shenmue
really
so
enjoying
much.
It. And I'm just focusing on the positives with it as well, where I watched a couple of videos of the Dreamcast version on YouTube, and I even realized there's like a switch on the game where you can change it to the Dreamcast version, how you'd see it and play it. And the difference is amazing. Like, I was just glad to have Shenmue 1 back. Because I'd had Shenmue 2 for the Xbox for all the time, the whole time. But I hadn't played Shenmue 1 in years, so I was just happy to have it back, and I wasn't concentrating on just how much better it looks. So much better. Like, obviously, the graphics are still blocky and stuff. Like, it is what it is. Like, you know, his jacket, you know, his symbol on his back's always going to look how it is, or if you pick up a jar, it's still going to be, you know, jagged on the side. But just how crisp and clear everything is, and how nothing's has like any kind of faded look to it or wishy-washy. And even though the cutscenes are all square, what do you call that? Dimension, 4x...
Like polygony.
No. You know, the cutscenes are like, you know, you're watching it in a square.
Oh, you mean
like
4x3.
4x3, yeah. But then you've got the full widescreen ratio, whatever that's called, 16:9 or something.
16:9, yeah.
I really appreciate it. You know, how much work has gone into to doing the remake and how much nicer it looks. And I'm thinking about that a lot more this time round, especially the fact that you can flick the switch and go, oh, God, it's like someone's wiped shit all over the screen for the Dreamcast version. So, yeah, I'm very happy about that. And also, I want to play through both games so I can go straight into Shenmue 3 again and try and appreciate that more this second time round, because the first time round it was completely new and just awkward and weird, not knowing what to make of it, and, you know, experiencing something for the first time that you've been waiting for whatever it was, 14 years or something at least. Something crazy like that between Shenmue 2 and 3. And I'm still going to stand by for now what I'd said about it, where it's very strange. It's a game that seems to have been specifically made for people who were waiting for the, you know, for that sequel since 2002 or 2001, whenever Shenmue 2 came out. And yeah, it's, you know, games have moved on since then, so there was an argument for like changing it up and making it more modern, but then, you know, a lot of the fans were saying like, oh, well, I don't want that, I just want what it was, which I totally understand the argument for that as well. But it's obviously, to me it's obvious, but it was always going to be something in between the two, and that is what it is.
Of course it was, because it could never be 100% exactly like the originals in today's day and age.
No, because it would just seem weird. You'd have a whole bunch of people saying, "What? Why did you do that? You could have made that a little bit better." But no, they've definitely not gone full hog of, which apparently is what they're going to be doing for Shenmue 4 if and when that comes out. Is he wants to make it properly modern and make it for new fans. he's basically gone on record recently as saying that was for the old fans, and I understand what he's saying, but it doesn't quite match up to them. Obviously, it can't, but it didn't have the same magic sort of feeling or classic feeling. I can't think what word to use.
Well, that's the thing, because I don't have a PS4, I still haven't played Shenmue 3 yet, so...
You do realise it's on Xbox One as well now.
Is it out on Xbox One now?
Yeah.
No, when did that happen?
Quite a while ago. I thought you knew.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they said it was a PS4 exclusive, and it wasn't. It was just an exclusive for a time, for a while. It's definitely out.
Holy, really?
Yeah,
I haven't seen it anywhere. No.
It is.
No, I'm sure it's not.
It is.
Shenmue 1 and 2 is out on Xbox. I can't find anything on Google.
I'm not going to Google for you. I'm going to go to eBay, and I apologise if I'm incorrect.
Shenmue.
Oh, sorry, mate.
You got my fucking hopes up, then.
Oh, I really thought it was.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Oh, but... sorry. That wasn't the joke. I wasn't...
Yeah. No, you've probably seen Shenmue 1 and 2 on the Xbox.
Yeah, that must have been it. Sorry.
Yeah. No, but no, at some point I will play...
Well, maybe I've read that it's going to or something.
I don't know.
Or it might just come out on the new generation now at this point. I don't know, but
mm-hmm.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. But yeah, no, I will get around to playing that at some point. At the moment, I'm just really playing loads of Game Pass games as well.
Yeah, those Game Pass things do look very good, very much worth the money. But I'm only not doing that myself just because... I just, like I said, I've got a backlog of games on the shelf, which I've not even played.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just pointless me getting any of those sort of things at this point.
Yeah. No, we're with Xbox Game Pass definitely is beefier than like the PlayStation Now
service. Yeah.
And especially like with Bethesda now coming on board, I think they're saying that it's looking like they're going to drop Doom Eternal on there in the next week or so.
Yeah, that's awesome. It just seems to get better and better, the whole deal with Xbox at the moment.
Well, that's the thing with Game Pass. If you're spending like just over a tenner a month, it's like, that's what, if you was buying brand new games, it'd be two or three games a year, but instead you just get everything that Microsoft like self-publishes, and also other things that they've added on. One game that I'm gonna start very soon, which they added a week or so ago, was Resident Evil 7.
Yeah, that's the only Resident Evil I've played all the way through, and I enjoyed it.
Have you never played any of the original Resis?
No, I think I might have said it on here before, where when I was younger, in my teens,
mm-hmm.
I was so used to being needlessly loyal to certain companies. Like, it was Nintendo when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then eventually, like, I finally turned to the dark side, which I thought at the time, and got the Dreamcast and fell in love with that.
Mm-hmm.
But then the rest of the world was falling in love with the Sony PlayStation. And I was just like, oh, what about the N64? What about the Dreamcast? You know, the Dreamcast is the future. And God, was mm-hmm. I wrong. I still love it. I still love the Dreamcast, even though it only had a very small amount of games come out compared to PlayStation. But yeah, it just bugged me, the PlayStation at the time. But even though that was the case, like, I had all these different friends buy it, and I could see why people liked it. There's lots of cool new things coming out. And one of them was Resident Evil, and I would just sit there and I would tell people what to do. I'd just say, oh, go over there, go around there. But whenever they passed me the control, I'd just say, nah, well, it's your game, it's your console, I don't want to make a file, you know, I'll help you, but I have no, you know, I might have taken the controller occasionally and just gone, oh God, these controls are a bit awkward, aren't they? But no, never did do it, never pull the trigger on buying, even though I have like bought and sold PS2s, PS3s, now the PS4.
Technically, back in the day, you could have still been loyal to Dreamcast and just bought Bleemcast. Yeah, you could buy an unofficial disc that you just whacked in your Dreamcast. It would load the system, and then you could put in any PlayStation games and play PlayStation games on your Dreamcast.
That. Oh, yeah. I wish 2000 version of me had known that.
Because, yeah, no, the Dreamcast was so... because I had the PlayStation, I didn't actually use it for that. But one of my mates, he would buy all of the games that he really wanted, but games that he would never buy anyway. He would just download the ROM, whack it on a CD, and with the Bleemcast, you could just play it.
Bleemcast. Like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Pirating at its finest.
I missed out on all of the Resident Evil until 7, where I just saw that it was out on the modern consoles, and I was like, that looks really different for a start.
And it's totally different style-wise than the others.
At least what they show you in the trailers and all that, it really sold me, because I was like, I love horror films where people are in the middle of nowhere and in, like, you know, Farmer Giles, well, not Farmer Giles, but, you know, Leatherface's house or whatever, and they can't get away. I love that setting. I always have. So I was just like, for that to be a game, I'm definitely playing that.
Well, it's already fairly cheap, and I know, like, as you said, as next generations come out, the prices will go down. When if you see a cheap copy of the Resident Evil 2 remake that they put out, like, last year...
Yeah, I'm already sold on it, definitely. I'm going to go for that at some point.
I loved it.
The look of that.
Yeah, I played through the remake loads, and it's absolutely fantastic.
It looks great from what little I've seen, and I want to keep it that way until I play it.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah, definitely. Because you've never done it, go in fresh. You'll love it.
Mm. Yeah, I look forward to that. And, yes, I think you'll like 7 as well, and I'm not going to spoil any of it for you. I look forward to what they do in the future. I like the trailer I've seen so far for 8, I guess.
And I love that Sony Village are really pushing Resi Evil 8 for, like, the PlayStation 5. And it's like, most of the stuff that PlayStation have really been pushing trailers, like, for the PS5, a multi-platform. It's coming on the Xbox as well. Mm. So it's coming on the Series X. So
I think they might just be choosing some of those games because sometimes people associate it with them more.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what you're saying.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like... Apparently, Microsoft aren't finished with their buying of new studios. They're
that really amazed and shocked me. And I was just like, more power to them. But I'll see what happens with what I choose down. Definitely way down the line, I think, at this point.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm fucking well happy just because I know those games now come on Game Pass.
Also, one of the only games what made me think, I'll be getting a PS5. In the last couple of days, I realised, it's coming out on PS4. Well, I've got
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, yeah.
Yeah, I know, that's the thing. With all of the... I think it's been quite disingenuous of Sony with regards to the build-up of the PS5, because I've been watching everything, and I want Sony to do well.
The one thing I will say about this whole war is I think it's clear to anyone who wants to add all the things up that for Xbox One versus PS4, PS4 won. It won the war.
Oh, absolutely,
it won that battle.
That generation.
So yeah, that generation. So I think Microsoft Xbox has known for a good long while now, like, we need to win this time.
Mm-hmm.
We need to pull out the stops and, you know, do what we need to do, whatever that might be. And that's clearly happening at this point.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the thing is, as well, it's like with the build up to like the PS5, like when there's like doing all of the announcement trailers, like they made it seem like Spider-Man Miles Morales was going to be a PS5 exclusive.
I just totally accepted that as being it, but they never said it, but they never said it wasn't either, did they?
No, they made it seem like the new Sackboy game is a PS5 exclusive. Like the whole, a whole bunch of the ones that they made seem like it was, it's like, no, they're still coming out on PS4. And it's like,
I'm sticking with that for a bit.
Yeah, the only PS5 exclusive ones, like not even coming out until later next year.
I heard a story today that made me laugh. I almost said it to you earlier on when when you said that you'd put your deposit down. I think it was like in America, just particularly in America, I don't think it was about the whole world, just saying the Xbox One X, or whatever it is.
Series X.
No, the Xbox One X.
Oh, yes. No, oh, no.
Went up in sales like 750% or something in the last week.
Yeah, but
because obviously it's more than likely that a whole bunch of Americans or American parents are like,
moms,
oh,
dads,
this is what my son wants, this is what my grandson wants. I went to the shop and I got it for him, where it's actually, it's just got that extra word in it, series, which is the one that will be coming out in the next couple of months.
Yeah,
but it's clearly that's what it was. And the people sometimes I reckon the people in the shops that are selling them not going to know themselves. They'll just be like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, but the thing is,
or they're not going to care.
No, but the problem is there is traditionally you would go into a game store and you would say, I want to buy the new Xbox.
Yeah.
And like the new Xbox. And the staff would go, okay, this is what's coming out. These are your options. But when fucking, like, bloody the boomers are left to just go on Amazon.
Yeah.
There's no one there to tell them, are you sure this is the one that you want?
But you know what they're like? They can barely say the names half the time. So, you know, they'll just be going in the shop saying, he just wants the Xbox X, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, exactly. We're doing it online. There
I
isn't
just imagine
that...
all the like spoilt brats of the world on Christmas Day going, no, it's the wrong one.
You silly bitch. Oh, yeah. There is definitely going to be a portion of people that are disappointed. I just hope for their sake that whoever has bought it realizes beforehand, or like, or the kids or whatever that keep up to date and know the news articles see that and go, man, just check in, make sure that it's the Series X.
Yeah, you did tell Santa, didn't you? But it's the Series X
and not the One X.
Yeah.
So then maybe they can check. Or
I do
or
think,
they...
though, that like, unless that was like a dodgy plan by Microsoft Xbox to do that all along.
I don't think so, because they stopped production of the One X a while back.
Why couldn't they come up with a different name? Like, it just seems silly to have the
name that
be
I agree.
So close.
That I agree with, because... Well, you only need to look at the Wii U.
Yeah, it failed, basically, even though it's not a bad console.
It's a question of where the Wii U suffered, where people were like, oh, it must just be an add-on.
That's what I thought. I thought that's what it was, yeah.
And it's like, no, it's a totally different console, because they didn't name it differently enough. Where now this is the opposite effect of where people really want the Series X, but accidentally buy the fucking old machine.
Yeah.
So
it was clearly already happening.
Yeah. So it's, but I think because they stopped production, there can't be that many left to sell through, I don't
but
think.
You never know. Like, if, you know, if they've just made loads of sales, they might just say, oh, we can whack some more out.
Oh, no, they've 100% finished production. It's only the Xbox One S that's still being made.
Mm.
But we'll we'll see. But yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to like seeing what the next gen holds. And so, and for me, it's all about fucking Game Pass for me. Just all of that fucking games to play.
I'm going to say two things now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's stop in a minute because we're 5 seconds away from being 2 hours in. So I don't want to bore too many people. Because we've not spoken about Star Trek in probably about an hour as well. Knowing us, if we've been going 2 hours. But yeah, one thing where I'll bring it back to Star Trek is, we've said it before, eventually let's both get Star Trek Bridge Crew on the PS4 and let's give that a go. And VR, you know, once we can justify paying whatever money it is for that eventually when it goes down. But it's too expensive right now still.
No, it's definitely one that I do definitely want to play at some point, but as you said,
I can't go my whole life not buying that and playing that. If you're a fan of the show, like, it's too much fun to be had not to do that for once it's finally a reasonable price for those things, and right now it's just not there. It's too expensive.
Still a couple of hundred, I think, for the PlayStation VR, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, you're looking at least around 200, I think, for just the VR headset alone. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, get the console plus the headset and everything plus the game. You're talking a good like 400 or 500.
Yeah, at least. Yeah. So yeah, it'll still be a while, but that's something that we've got to do in future. And
yeah,
that'd be a lot of fun. Maybe even try and turn it into a YouTube video or something.
Definitely. I'd be up for that.
Anyway, have you got anything else you want to say to the people quickly before we go?
No, not at all. Thank you very much for listening.
Yeah, and tune in soon, patrons, for our Patreon episode. Next is The Wrath of Khan, which we've still yet to do, but it'll be very soon. Oh, God, that was good timing because my computer's about to die.
There you go. Perfect timing. So thank you very much for listening, everyone. I've been Wayne Emery.
I've been Jude Hawkins, and that was Trekmate.
If I could watch any show on the telly, and it'd be all warm inside, it would satisfy you, never slide on by you, cause in Picard I would confide. I would confide, if nothing is on, but the craving's strong, even if it's a clunker, you see. I'd watch it just the same, cause Trek, it's just not lame. I'd boldly go, cause that's just me. That's just me. I said, I know it's an awful episode, but I like it. Said, I know it's an awful episode, but I like it. Star Trek, yes I do, oh well I like it. It's Star Trek, yeah I like it. I said, can't you see, this boy's in love with Starfleet. If I had to give up some of the collection, you could take a lot from me. Have my BSG take Firefly from me, but the Enterprise, it stays with me. Don't take my Trek from me. Even if the plot is pointless and dumb, or the continuity has changed, something so alluring, cause Trek is quite assuring. I'm a fanboy, am I deranged? Am I deranged? I said, I know it's an awful episode, but I like it. I said, I know it's an awful episode, but I like it. Star Trek, yes I do, oh well I like it. It's Star Trek, yeah I like it. I said, can't you see, this boy's in love with Starfleet. And do you think it's the only franchise in town?
said, I know it's an awful episode, but I like it. I said, I know it's an awful episode, but I like it. Star Trek. I said, I know it's an awful episode, but I like it. Yeah. I said, I know it's an awful episode, but I like it. Star Trek, yes I do. Well, I like it. Yeah. Star Trek, I like it. I never miss it. I watch reruns. I got DVDs. I even like Spock's brain. It's Star Trek. Star Trek, yeah. And I like it. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I like it. Star Trek. Yeah, I like it. Even the bad ones. Even the fun ones. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I like it. I don't have a powder, Captain. Yeah, I like it. Rock monsters and all. I like it. Cheesy special effects. Like it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like it. Star Trek. Yes, I do.
You've been listening to the Trek Mate Podcast. Would you like to get a hold of us? Visit trekmate.org.uk and boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Make it so.
Prepare to attack. All hands battle station.
Don't worry. We will get to the bottom of this.
Ask is a tall ship and a star to steer by.
I don't want excuses, I want answers.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
How do you think that tells me about your character?
Captain's log, stardate 3541.9.
Program complete. Enter when ready.
I am Captain Jean-Luc Picard, and I approve this message. Tweet us at TrekMate1701. Make it so.